Overhead? Yes, they do. All right. I can't see my Bible, so if you can put it up there, we'll start reading it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Saying, "Go into the village." This is the other setting, the other scripture. "Go into the village opposite where you entering, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" These scriptures, I brought these two scriptures together because I want to look at this whole message, the triumphant entry. There's two situations here. There's two settings that I want to talk about. We already all know about the triumphant entry. We know we've been waving the palms. We know the story. But these two scriptures, as I read these in my studying, I was thinking to myself, it says what happens, but it doesn't say what transpired coming up to what happened. I'm not trying to add anything or take anything away from the scriptures at all. I'm not trying to add to it. But what I saw in this was, first of all, whenever he came in to get ready for his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he told two of his disciples, "Go over here and you'll find a colt of a donkey, and I want you to bring that to me so that I can ride that into the city." We know the story. But what led up to that? There must have been a village outside of the city of Jerusalem. A village back then, I'm assuming, is probably just three or four generations of a family on a big farm have everything together. You've heard the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. That's where that came from. All the family actually lived together. They lived on the same farm. They did all the farming. What I see in this first part of this story is the owner of that, what caused him to take a colt and take it out close to the road and tie it? Did he have a dream? Did he have a premonition? Let me ask you that question. Have you ever been impressed to say something or do something or go somewhere for no apparent reason? Have you ever felt that? You ever felt to do something? You ever felt that you were supposed to do something and didn't know where it came from? One Saturday afternoon, it was a beautiful day. I could have called my son. We could have played golf. I could have picked up my grandson and given him a fishing. This particular Saturday, I thought, it's beautiful out. Weather is nice. Our church had just received a box of these pamphlets of a Bible study of salvation, how to be saved. And for some reason, I was impressed to go back to the church, grab a handful of those, drive through to McDonald's and get four packs of coffee. I took those and the creamer and the sugar and the Bible studies. I went to a park downtown St. Petersburg where the homeless helped. They would hang out there during the day. And I guess the homeless would be there because of two big churches that was in the same area, give them their meals, they'd give them their clothes if they needed it. So they hung out in this big park. I thought, well, I'm just going to take some coffee and some cream and sugar with that, and I'm going to take these Bible studies, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to see if anybody wants to hear what I have to say about their salvation. And boy, I parked my car and walked out in the middle of that park by a bench, and everybody saw that I had coffee, and they started coming around, "Can I have one? Can I have one?" I said, "Sure, I brought this coffee for you, if you just let me talk to you for a few minutes." And I sat down and I talked to them about their salvation, about how Jesus could save them, save their souls. not necessarily improve their situation at the time. Jesus could do that. But something told me to do that, and after that I started doing that just about every Saturday. And they got to the point where people was realizing what I was doing. They would be there to meet me certain times. A lot of people would just grab the coffee and put cream and sugar in it and walk away. But some of them stuck around. And I'd like to think that just because I listened to the Lord that one day, or listened to what I was thinking that day, or may have been a dream, or may have been a premonition, may have been something that I felt like I should have been doing anyway, but I did it. I went ahead and I said yes. A lot of times we think about things that we should be doing, but we don't do it. But I think that's what happened here in the scripture. First of all, whenever this man had this colt, a donkey, nobody ever rode on it before, I can imagine him saying, "No, don't stop, don't ride that. That's a special donkey. Don't ride it. That's a donkey I'm saving for something special." Maybe not even knowing what. Grandkids getting out there. No, don't get on that one. You can play with all of the rest of them that you want to, but this one is special. So, come to find out, it really was special. Jesus made his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem on that donkey. And I was thinking, was it a dream that he had? Was it a premonition? Was it just a feeling? And it wasn't just that. We're going to be celebrating the communion, and the foot washing, all of this that happened. Jesus' disciples asked him, what should we do? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to celebrate the Passover? Jesus told probably the same two disciples, go into the city. You'll see this man carrying this pot of water. Ask him, where can we go to celebrate the Passover with the Lord? I would imagine that leading up to that point, I can imagine and picture in my mind the owner of that building. Something impressed him to go upstairs in this upper room and lay out the spread, and prepare everything, have everything ready. Because according to the scripture, it was all ready to go. And was it a dream that he had? Was it a premonition that he had that he should go upstairs and all of a sudden just pour out everything that you need for your Passover celebration? What impressed him to do that? My story that I'm trying to get through to all of us is God still wants to do those things in our lives. He's still looking for people that he can turn to and give a dream to, or give a premonition to, or he still wants to do these things in our lives. God would just have a great time between us and him if we would just say yes to him. Say, "Yes, Lord, what do you want me to do for you today?" Or he wants us to be in a position to where if he wanted to or needed to, he could depend on you to do something out of the ordinary. Do something strange that you wouldn't normally do in order for his will to be done, for glory to be brought to his name. It's a wonderful thing to be in relationship with a Heavenly Father that loves us. I mean, I'm nothing but a speck of dust here on the earth. We are. I'm nothing but just a chunk of clay. Why would the Lord do what he did there in that Passion Week? Why would he do that? Why would he go through that for somebody like me, for somebody like you? Why would he do that? Why would he sacrifice? Why would Jesus allow all of that to come against him? For me, a speck of dust, a lump of clay, a nobody. Why would he do that? He did it because, like John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, I'm so thankful that scripture says what it says. I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to open up my life to him and to give myself to him and say, "Yes, Lord, Yes, Lord, you are my salvation. You are my Savior. You are my Creator. I believe you. I trust you. What a privilege it is, church, to have a God that we can go to, a Savior that we can depend on. How wonderful it is. I wonder if we could all just bow our heads and take just a moment in prayer and believe him. I'm going to pray for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for this Passion Week and for his salvation. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful Savior you are. What a wonderful God you are, that you would do what you have done in order for us to be saved. You have done your sacrifice. You have, Lord Jesus, you sacrificed yourself so that I could be saved. I'm a sinner. I've done so much wrong. I can't do right every day. But you are there to help me. You are there to forgive me. You are there to say, it's okay, son. I still love you. I still love you. I still want to work with you. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for this congregation today, that each one of us, Lord, in this Passion Week, that we would have a renewed strength, a renewed desire to want to live for you, to want to do more for you, and to be sensitive to what you are doing so that we can be a part of that. I pray for all of us here today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Can we all stand and sing this next song? Love the song, the old rugged cross.